Welcome back to God Invention Radio, presented by Inventor's Digest. And now, here's your host, Brian Free.
Welcome back to God Invention Radio, segment two. We have Tom Colson from IT.com, and he's been giving us some great information from the start with segment one, and we're happy to continue here. And actually, Tom, we spoke about this, and it's exactly what's happening. People want us to touch on what a trademark is. There's another question about what a copyright is. We have another question about how important are claims in your this is from Joanne from Raleigh, North Carolina. How important are your – is it Raleigh? I'm not sure. North Carolina, how important are claims in your patent? So we have a lot of interesting things coming in here, and we're going to continue. Okay. Please continue to email your questions, brian@gotinvention.com. You know the typical inventor, we're all shy. We don't want to call in and talk. We want to just send in the email and have Brian ask the question to you. So we'll just keep doing it like that. But we still have the lines open, 877-474-3302. Call in and ask your question directly to Tom. All right, Tom, so where do you want to start?
Okay, why don't we do this? Why don't we talk about the difference between provisional patents and regular patents real quick, just so that people know what that is?
Yep.
And why don't we? And then we can also talk about the question that came up about the claims. Let me start there, okay?
Okay, let's do it.
Okay, I have a let's think about provisional patent applications versus regular patent applications. And just to give you an overview, a regular patent application is a patent application. But years ago, somebody came up with the idea to have a provisional patent application, which is essentially not really a patent application. It's really a placeholder, and it gives you the opportunity to file a patent application for real within 1 year, and then get your date, which is the date you originally filed your provisional application.
Okay.
So it's cheaper, and people think of it as it's really easy. Just get yourself in line, and then, because dates are everything in patents. Who got there first is really, really important. So you want to get it out there to the marketplace, but you can't do it till you get your protection of a patent, so many people file provisional patent applications.
Now, when you say, actually, I want to just touch on that.
Sure.
Because there actually is a question here, and I'm going to just answer it because I'm briefing through in between the break on the questions that are coming in. But is this something that you could do on your own? Do you feel comfortable having a provisional patent be done by an independent inventor?
Absolutely not. In fact, I don't feel comfortable with a provisional patent being done by anybody, much less an individual inventor. And
okay.
The reason is this. You know, I have an example. I have a couple came in, I remember, years ago, Theo and Luella Angert, come into my office. And they have this idea, and they want to file a provisional patent application because it's cheaper and it's quick, and they give me this specification, which is essentially a white paper that they wrote. So they want me to file it. The problem is this. At the end of the day, or at the end of the year, when you need to convert that to a real patent application, you need to have claims written, because claims are everything in a patent. All the power, all the might of a patent is in its claims. So the only way to write claims really well is to write your claims first, because there is a legal requirement that the specification of a patent support the claims.
Okay.
So in order to effectively write a patent, you need to write the claims first so that you know what you need to support. What happens a lot of times is people file a provisional patent application, then they go to convert it, and they find out that they haven't put enough specification material in to support the claims they want, and they end up not being able to convert, which means they lose their date. Worse yet, they thought they had a date, so they went to market and started to market this thing, and now the clock starts ticking on being able to get a patent at all. So they're very dangerous. So my advice to everybody is, unless there's some really desperate reason for a patent to file a provisional patent application, file a regular one and get some claims in it right from the beginning so that you don't have any problems converting downstream.
Most of the people, from the independent inventor point of view, most of us are kind of limited on our funds, and it's an easy way to, if we're looking to license the product or find a partner, just to kind of get that provisional patent in to a point and take it and be able to try to license it.
Okay, and you need to think about that, but keep in mind, what's worse, spending a few hundred dollars more up front, or maybe a few thousand, depending upon what your patent lawyer is going to charge you, But getting a date that you can actually depend upon. Because if at the end of the year you can't convert your provisional because you don't have enough material in the specification to support claims that are worth anything, and we're going to talk about claims in a minute, but if that's the case, then you've lost much more than the money from the original investment. Now, having said that, if you're going to file a provisional, if you're saying, Tom, you're totally full of it, I do this, I know this, and I'm going to file a provisional, I would unquestionably do it through a patent lawyer. Because they can at least sort of vision out what they're going to need downstream for the claims, and even though it'll be cheaper, it's still worthwhile, at least at a minimum, if you're going to do a provisional, use a patent lawyer.
I always feel, it's funny, I mean, I give my opinion to a point on the show. I feel very strongly about inventors having experts do what they do best. And when I file a provisional patent, I always make sure that I have an attorney involved. Just because this, if you take a look at a regular patent, a non-provisional, otherwise known as a utility patent, it's an art. I mean, you guys are amazing the way you write that up. And I'm afraid that if I decide to, and we started off this interview talking about how your intellectual property is really the start of your business, and you're starting a business, so if you're going to invest in it, you want to make sure that you have the right equipment, you have the right protection, and make sure that that's something that you can lead you forward and not something that's going to hurt you later on down the road.
And, hey, Brian, here's the good news about having me on this show. I have no particular bent. I'm not a practicing patent lawyer anymore. I could see somebody thinking, oh, you're saying that because you want us to come to you and give you fees. But I don't make money that way anymore. In fact, I haven't generated a fee from being a patent lawyer in over 10 years. So I have credibility when I say use patent lawyers for patent applications, even provisionals.
Good stuff. Tom, question.
Sure.
I see so many inventors filing provisional patents before they even do a patent search. Tell me how you feel about that.
Well, here's the thing. A patent search can be done in many layers, okay? One of the things that we do at our company is we do actual professional patent searching for people, but also we have a website, IP.com, that you can go do searching on your own. What I tell people, and I get calls from friends and family all the time who are inventors and want to know the basics, and I say, no matter what occurs, do a search at least on your own. Go to, IP.com. It's a free patent site. Go to the USPTO.gov, free patent site. Search as much as you can possibly search on your own and try to find anything close. Gather a file of everything that looks like your invention, and then go to Google and Google it to death, because it doesn't cost you anything other than time to do the search through these sources on your own. Get a little booklet together, try to find everything that's related, and then go to a patent lawyer. And the reason I say that is you're not going to be able to assess what these things are, but you're going to save a lawyer a ton of time, because lawyers are all about time. I charge whatever. I charge $300 an hour. That means the number of hours I have to do on this is the more money you're going to have to pay. So the more you can do up front, the less the lawyer is going to cost you. Even before filing a provisional, you would be foolish if you didn't do a prior art search on your own at least. And then step two, give it to a patent lawyer after you're done and just let them give you 2 hours of their time to help you assess whether or not it's worth going forward. So definitely
Makes
do
sense.
Prior art searching at least on your own.
Makes sense. And when you're doing those Google search, go to Google, go to Yahoo, go to a few different search engines and put in what your idea is a few different ways. Kind of describe it in different ways and see what comes up. Don't be afraid. You have to do it. This is reality, right? You have to know
Absolutely.
What it is before, right? Got to face the facts.
Because ultimately, the thing that we didn't mention before, is, and I think it's important to mention now, what else isn't a patent? We said, what is it? What isn't it? It is not cheap. Patenting, as everyone will tell you, is very expensive. If you should expect that it's going to cost you before your patent application is prepared and fully filed, before you get the filing certificate, it's going to be around $10,000. For a utility patent application. It might be 5, it might be 6, it might be 10, it might be 12, it might be 15, but it's thousands and not hundreds. So you want to make sure that you do everything you can for free up front so that you don't waste that money. I've had more inventors come to me with ideas that were not well thought through and spend thousands and thousands of dollars, and at the end of the day they have nothing. They couldn't even get a patent because there was some obvious prior art out there. So think about the money. You know, mitigate your risk of spending a fortune by doing a prior art search.
That makes sense. What do you? How do you feel about patent attorneys giving opinion letters on the patentability of somebody that comes to them? Do you think that they ever say no?
Well, here's the thing: a patentability opinion for a patent application is very, very, let's just say, incomplete, almost by definition. And here's the reason. There are a zillion places that you can find prior art on this planet that can defeat your patent application. It can be in a referee journal. It can be on the back of a cereal box in a store. So what a patent attorney will typically do is do a search for you for like $700 or $800, and it's really not a patentability search. It's a preliminary novelty search. And essentially what they're doing is trying to find the basics really fast and then giving you a quick opinion based upon what they've found. But there's no way you could afford to pay them what it would take to do a full-blown search. That could be tens or hundreds of thousands of dollars. So what you're really getting is an opinion of patentability that's basically saying, it looks okay. And based upon the quick search I did, you look good. But
and the
patent examiner might find stuff they never found.
Okay, and they can use those references to cite in the patent application as well.
Absolutely, and they would use those when they prepared the patent application.
Okay. Tom, great stuff. I have some more questions coming in. We're going to hold them till segment three, which is coming up. We're just about done with this segment, believe it or not. I told you, Tom, it goes fast. And
yeah,
we are giving a wealth of information to inventors, and we really appreciate you being on our show tonight.
I'm having a blast, Brian.
We'll be back with segment three. We're going to find out alternatives to patenting. And then in segment four, we're going to talk about international patenting and filing. A lot of good stuff ahead. We'll be back with segment three on Got Invention Radio in a moment.
Love to read but just don't have the time? With Audible.com, you can catch up on reading simply by listening. Audible has the largest collection of digital audiobooks, over 85,000 titles in every genre. Listen to a bestseller on your iPhone, BlackBerry, Android smartphone, or one of 500 other compatible devices. Visit audible.com/WSRadio today and get a free audiobook when you try Audible free for 14 days. That's audible.com/WSRadio.
When did men lose their way? Was it Hollywood portraying us as wimps? Is it the daytime serials where we're on our hands and knees begging for affection from women? Is it all the talk shows telling us women want a sensitive guy or a macho man? Well, guy, how does it feel to spend $200 on a couple of dates and never hear from the girl again? Doc Loves the System can change all that. 35-plus years of Doc Loves life has been devoted to a simple question posed to over 10,000 women. Why do you choose to stay with one guy versus another? Doc Loves the System is a realistic approach to dating written just for men. Visit DocLove.com today. That's DocLove.com today for more about the system. It's time to reclaim your manhood. DocLove.com. The system will change your life.
In San Diego alone, of the estimated 8,500 people that are homeless, 25% or approximately 2,100 have mental illness. Mental illness can be successfully treated through supportive housing, integrated mental health services, primary health care, alcohol and drug services, case management, and social services. To help homeless people living with mental illness gain stability and live more productive lives, log on to housingmatterssd.org. That's housingmatterssd.org.
Do you have an idea or an invention and not sure what to do next? Take the first step and get your copy of the book, You and Your Big Ideas by Brian Fried. From protecting your idea to developing it and bringing your product to market, this handy resource guide is a must-have for every inventor, innovator, and entrepreneur. This book is all about you and your big ideas and bringing them to life. Only $10.95. Order now and also receive your free product evaluation kit with the book. Call now.